take away our sins. Have mercy on us and forgive us. That we may delight in your will. Walk in your ways.
First Corinthians 11:18-34 reads, "For I received from the Lord what I have passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat this bread and drink from this cup. For those who eat and drink without discernment, the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discernment with regards of ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, we are judged in the way by the Lord that we are being disciplined, so that we will not be fully condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, we may not result in judgment." Minister Reckler.
God, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we give thanks to you this morning, another communion Sunday. Lord, you said in your word, as often as we do this in remembrance of you. We ask you this morning to bless the crackers that we take, which represent your broken body. And as we drink this juice, which represent your shed blood, bless it in the name of Jesus. This is our prayer this morning. In the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. We are now ask Alex to come up for a sermonic selection.
Praise the Lord, Taylor. Amen. I ask that you please join me. We are musicless this morning. Amen. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Have your way. Lord, you are welcome. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Have your way. Move by your spirit. Move by your spirit in this place. Move by your spirit in this place. Move by your spirit in this place. Have your way. Move by your spirit. Move by your spirit in this place. Move by your spirit in this place. Move by your spirit in this place. Have your way. Send your anointing. Send your anointing in this place. Send your anointing in this place. Send your anointing in this place. Have your way. One more time, send your anointing. Send your anointing in this place. Send your anointing in this place. Send your anointing in this place. Have your way. Lord, have your way. Amen.
We ask the congregation to please stand. The right hand towards the prayer. Say, God bless. Pass the floor. God bless. Pass the floor. Real good.
Good morning, and God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. On for another communion Sunday, right? We come together to commemorate the Lord's, his death, his burial, his resurrection. His shed blood that unites us and makes us all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going the life and the story of Samson today. So I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Judges, the 16th chapter. Amen. Judges, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 23. I'm also going to add to the witness out of 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. Amen. Judges 16, 23. And then we're going to add to the witness out of 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. While you're turning there, I do want to thank the Taylor Tabernacle Elves, who have once again beautifully decorated the sanctuary and my office. So nice in there. I almost didn't want to do anything. I didn't know whether I should sit down or stand up or whatever. But thank God for the elves. Thank God for the maintenance staff. Everything is nice and clean. It smells good. Again, I didn't know what I was supposed to do in there. Do I stand up? But thank God for each and every one who participated in that regard. Amen. How are we looking? Are you there? Judges 16 and 23. Life of Samson. As you know, I've been preaching to all of our young men. Come on, let's give our young men a hand. Thank God for each and every one of them. They're here. They're front and center. They've been faithful over these last several weeks in coming not only to church, but serving in church. So glad to see them serving yet again today. And I'm just so thankful for them. I was telling some of the pastors and preachers that I'm in contact with, what we've been doing, what I've been preaching. And so many have been like, man, I need to do something like that for the young men at our church. And I'm just grateful that the response has been so positive. Amen. Here we go. Let's get down to it. It says, now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson, that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Verse 28, then Samson called to the Lord saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. You recall last Sunday passage when they captured him, the cutting off his hair, they put out his eyes, right? And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple. And he braced himself against them, one on the right hand and one on his left. And then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might. And the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zor and Ashtol in the tomb of his father Manoah. And he judged Israel for 20 years. Amen. Now to the witness, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. Familiar passage. This is Peter. This is Paul in conversation with God about the thorn in his side. Okay? Familiar. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Okay? Here's the sermon. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Unusual statement. Most people boast about their perfections. They boast about the things they're good at, right? The things that they do well. Paul is taking the opposite approach. Paul said, I'd rather rejoice about my infirmities, the things I don't do well, the things I'm not good at, the stuff I don't want people to know about that I keep hidden. Paul said, that's what I boast about. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, my reproaches, in my needs, my persecution, and distresses for Christ's sake. And again, here's the sermon. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And we're just going to lift Paul's words and amplify them in your hearing as our subject for today, this final message in this series of sermons, encouragement to our young men and to our men, to our young ladies and to our ladies abroad, that when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen? If you got it, say I got it. Now let's bow our head just for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful way you work. Because the way you perform and demonstrate your power is so unorthodox and unusual in our sight. And today, Lord, we thank you for your word. For it allows us to see and to understand better the ways of God, so that we might become better and position ourselves to be used to the fullest potential in service in your kingdom. So I pray this Sunday, as I pray every Sunday, Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. See into the spirit realm. And above all, give us a heart that is willing to obey. Because to trust and obey, it is the only way to be happy in Jesus, is simply to trust and obey. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in the heart of the believer and also that of the unbeliever. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. When I am weak, then I am strong. The one thing I think that we all agree on and have agreed on throughout our time together in the study of Samson's life, there's one thing we know and remember or can identify with Samson is what? Is strength. It's the thing you don't have to go to church. You don't have to be saved. You don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But everybody know when you hear the name Samson, the image or the thought that immediately comes to mind is strength and power. That's what he was known for, right? But yet we realize that as we looked at his life, looked at his Nazarite vow, it was that which forbade him from cutting his hair, and it was this refusal to cut his hair that served as a sign that the hand of the Lord was upon him. And with the hand of the Lord being upon him, God gave him great strength. And he was to use his strength as an Israelite judge to begin to break the grip of the Philistines, who were the enemies of Israel, and to give freedom and deliverance to the Hebrew people. Okay? That was his assignment, right? We read back when the angel of the Lord visited with his mother and father, said, "You're going to have a son. He's to be a Nazarite unto me." And that verse said, "And he shall begin to defeat the Philistines." And this beginning of the defeat of the Philistines starts with Samson and continues through the life and reign of David. Because David also comes in the spirit of Samson and defeats Goliath, the greatest of the Philistine champions. And so here we have this judge. Here we have this mighty man of valor, this mighty man of strength. And we're on the the heels of his demise. Last Sunday, if you were here, you realized that we talked about the dangers of dating Delilah. And Samson just kept, how many know you can't play with fire, right? You keep fooling around with fire long enough, what's going to happen? We got a fireman here. You keep playing with fire, you're going to get burned eventually, right? It's just best to what? Leave it alone, right? Right? But Samson kept playing with the fire to him, which was Delilah, and eventually it burned him, right? He told her all his heart, that his hair was his strength. And so she lulled him to sleep. And while he was asleep, she had the Philistines come and cut his hair. So that when he awoke, he didn't have the strength. We read that passage last Sunday. The most damning part in it was says what? He said he didn't realize that the Lord had left him, right? The Spirit of the Lord had left him. And so the anointing of super strength had left also. And so now Samson is captured, and they captured him and they brought him down to Gaza. And now they're beginning to celebrate their victory over their greatest enemy, Samson. Okay, so that's just a little backdrop. So let's get into it. And we're going to get down the road. This is not going to take us long because it's right here in front of us. Now the lords, I'm in 23. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And the song they sang is, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. And when they saw Samson, they raised their voice louder and said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. Right? You guys have been with me, so you know what has happened throughout his life, the various points and turns. Samson was constantly defeating the Philistines. Started out by killing 30, and then he killed 1,000, right? And so he was constantly defeating the Philistines. It is tragic when a person's sin contributes to the unsaved community giving praise to false gods. For our God alone is worthy of the praise. Are you with me on that? Right? It is tragic when a person's sins, right, a believer's sins, our sins, contribute to the unsaved community now breaking out in praise to their God. Do you follow that? You understand the damage? Now, it is our purpose to do what? We ought to give what? Our God the praise, right? Because what? He's the only one true God. But when our missteps, our mistakes create an opportunity that now calls the unsaved, or rather the sons and daughters of Satan, to now break out in praise to their God. You follow what happened? You got to understand, Samson went down. Samson made a mistake, and it caused the Philistine nation to rejoice. And they were not rejoicing and giving praise to the God of Israel. They were rejoicing and giving praise to their God, Dagon, a carved image that had the body of a man and the head of a fish. You study it out. That's the pagan god, Dagon. That's what he looked like. That's what they carved, the image that they made, and that they worshiped and sacrificed. Matthew 5:16 says, so let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Look at somebody and tell them, that's your job. Your job, my job, our job is to let our light shine so that when people see what God is doing in us, they give God the praise. They may not believe in our God. They may not trust our God, but they will know that it was our God who has delivered us. Do you follow what I'm saying? Look again, tell them, that's your job. Right? We are not to live in a manner such that it allows sinners to rejoice and praise their God. Right? We're the salt of the earth. We are to be different. Right? And being different, they give glory and honor to God. Amen? Here it is, verse 25. And so it happened. Now we're to the meat of the story. When their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may perform for us. But you know, they captured him. His hair is cut, put his eyes out. They shackled his hands and feet. And when they brought him back to Gaza, they put him in the prison. And he became a grinder of grain. He became a mule horse for them. Because again, you're so strong, they had him in the prison. And he just walked around pushing a heavy stone, grinding their grain. So now they call him out. They bring him upstairs into the party. And they want him to perform for them. And they said, and verse 25 said, and they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by his hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple, so that I may lean on them. Samson, put my hand on them. Let me feel the pillars that support the temple. It says now, verse 27, the temple was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. Basically, everybody in town was at this party. It wasn't a party, it was the party, right? All of the five lords of the Philistines were there. Delilah was there. You name them, they were there. Why? It was the hottest ticket in town because they were having a party because they had defeated their greatest enemy. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. About 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Big party. Everybody in town is there. And now at this point in the party, they call for Samson to come up. Bring him up so that we can see him. Bring him up because they wanted to make fun of Samson. They wanted to belittle Samson. They said, bring up Samson out of the prison. Bring him up here and make him perform for us. Why? Because they wanted to humiliate Samson. It wasn't enough that they cut his hair. It wasn't enough that they put out his eyes. It wasn't enough that they made him a slave and treated him like cattle. Now they wanted Samson front and center. Why? Because now we're going to laugh at him. Now we're going to ridicule him, and not only him, but his God. Are you with me? They began to taunt and jeer Samson and say, look at the mighty man of valor. Look at the strong man of Israel. They looked at Samson and said, Samson, now, where is your strength now? Come on, Mr. Big Shot. Where's all your power now? Where's the strength you used to lift the city gate at Gaza? Where's all the power you used to crush the lion's jaw and put honey there?
Where, come on, mighty man. Where's all of your power now? You know how folks like to do when you take a downturn, right? They don't celebrate you while you're going up. But as soon as you take a dip, right? Look at somebody, you're sitting down, you can't do it. But in your chair, just dip a little. Soon as you dip a little, that's when everybody wants to come around and see you now. Now everybody wants to come around and look at you now. Why? Because you're going down. Things aren't on the uptake for you anymore. And so now a lot of strength. So all of the Philistines were there because they had Samson down. But here, if you, let me see if you were really praying this morning. Here's the turning point to the whole sermon, right? If you get this, you're good. I'll take 10 minutes off the sermon if you get this. Now look what they said. He says to the young man, let me feel the pillars which support the temple. You see that there? But at the end of verse 25, they said they stationed him between the pillars. All right? If you got your own Bible, you underline that. If you got a church Bible, just memorize it. Don't write in the church Bible. Somebody got to use that next Sunday. But they stationed him between the two pillars. So on the one hand, what you see is public embarrassment. Public embarrassment is feeling shame or humiliation in front of others, often from a mistake or an accident or ridicule that leads to deep distress. And so, in publicly embarrassing someone, it can impact their self-worth and is oftentimes used as a form of public punishment. Right? So let me see if I can help y'all get this. When we were young, when I was young, and as boys, we always got in trouble. That's just, the two go hand in hand. Young boy, trouble. The two go hand in hand. But it wasn't that we got in trouble, but it's that we kept getting in trouble. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's one thing to get in trouble and then it's over, it's done with, and you move down the road. It's another thing to keep getting in trouble over and over and over again. And so what my mom, my mother would do from time to time when I was proving to be hard-headed, she said, okay. She would choose to whip me in front of my friends. I can handle the whipping in the house. I can handle the beatings downstairs in the basement. But when she kept calling me and I kept ignoring her, right? John, come on in. It's time. You got to stop. Come on. But we playing and we gonna keep it going. So after repeated refusal to listen, the matriarch would come out of the house. And all of you guys used to think the matriarch so nice. Oh, the matriarch so kind and sweet. She'd come out of the house with either the belt or a switch in her hand. Now, I know none of these young guys know what a switch is. But not only would she have a switch, sometimes she would make us go get the switch, peel off the small branch, and then hand her the switch. But here's the point I want to make. She would come out of the house, walk around the corner to where we were playing football. And she would start walking to me with that belt in her hand. And even before the first lick, I would start crying. Wait a minute. Not John, not football playing John, I wasn't crying because she hadn't hit me yet. I was crying because of the public embarrassment. To have your mother come out into the street with what? Everybody watching. Right? Grab you by your arm and start wearing you out. Had she did that at home in the basement, I can handle it, Josh. I'm used to it, right? But when she whipped me in front of everybody to see, I cried more then than all the other times put together. Why? Because I was publicly embarrassed, right? Now, I got enough mothers here who ought to say amen, because I've heard this not only from my own mother, but countless mothers, right? What do all the mothers say with their hard-headed children when they out in public? Don't you embarrass me. That's what they be like, boy, if you decide to act the fool now, it's going to be over. Now, why? Nobody wants public embarrassment. So when on the one hand, when they put Samson between the two pillars, because they were the central pillars of the building, it meant that everybody could see him. No matter where you were in this structure, whether on the first level, whether on the second level, on the roof, everybody had a good look at, there he is right there. Right? Everybody could see him, right? So that's the one side, right? So if you look at it from that perspective, the Philistines had Samson right where they wanted him, right? Now, this is why I prayed that prayer to God to say, God, I thank, because God is unorthodox in the way he does things. Now look at this. They stationed him between two pillars, right? We done looked at it from the Philistine side. Now look at it from God's side. The Philistines' temples had roofs overlooking a courtyard. Above, wooden columns planted on stone foundations. The central pillars were set close together to furnish extra support needed for the roof. Here, the victory celebration and taunts flung at the prisoner below drew large crowds, right? In this story, 3,000. So on the one hand, it looks like the Philistines have Samson right where they want him. But on the other hand, right? I wish that, are y'all praying? Because this is the whole sermon. You make this turn, you in the straightaway. They positioned him between the two main pillars. Y'all need to work construction because y'all not getting it. Y'all don't. It wasn't just that it was any pillar, but they put them between the two main pillars. And in so doing, they put Samson right where God, I wish I had a real church. A real church would say, Pastor, we out. I got the sermon now. Right? Isn't it funny? When it looks like your enemy is gaining an advantage, isn't it funny when it looks like your life is spiraling down and out of control, that if you just look at it from God's perspective, you would realize God has me right where he wants me. Now, help me preach this sermon. Look at somebody and just tell them, God's got you right where he wants you. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm in a bad place. I'm in a hard place. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what's going on in my body. But I'm here to tell you, God has you right. I wish I had a real church. Where he wants you. That's the position. That's the place. That's why he allowed it to happen. Why? Because God is getting ready to get some glory out of this. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Here it is. He's right where you want it. Now look, here it is. Samson's right where God wants him, and here's the proof. Verse 28 says, then Samson called to the Lord. He said, Lord, remember me. And this was Samson's prayer. He said, strengthen me. I pray just this once that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my eyes. Listen to his prayer. Lord, strengthen me. Now, all through the story and life of Samson, we have attributed his strength to his hair. As long as he didn't cut his hair and allowed his hair to grow, Samson remained strong. And along the way, Samson began to believe, listen, this is the sermon, that his strength was in his hair. But it wasn't until God got him between the two pillars did Samson finally realize, my strength is not in my hair. Because when Samson prayed this prayer, he was still bald, head still shaven. But he realized that it was God who strengthened him. Without my hair, without my eyes, without my surroundings, I can still do what God has called me to do. Once I realize that all of my help So the thing is, Samson finally got it. But the question is, have you? Samson finally got it on the doorsteps of his death. When will you get it? Paul got it. That's why Paul said, I would rather boast in my infirmities. Why? Because they position me right where God wants me. And when I get in the right place, that's when I get the right power. But as long as I'm out of place, as long as I'm outside of his will, I lack the anointing. I lack what I need to do what God wants me to do. But the moment I humble myself and say, Lord, position me where you want me. Even if I gotta be in the house of the Philistines, even if I have to lose my eyesight, even if I have to lose my hair, if it works to my advantage by putting me between the two pillars. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Taylor, that's the sermon. It's not in your hair. Everybody who reads the story of Samson, without fail, to a man, his strength was in his hair. But they never read how he died. He died bald headed. But he did more in his death than he did in all of his life. Why? Because he finally got in the right place with God. And when he did, the power of God fell in his life. That's the sermon. Isaiah 40:28. Here it is. Have you not known? And have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor gets weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Listen to this. He gives power to the weak. And to those that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And young men shall utterly fall. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I close by just reminding you that God's got power. Are you with me this Sunday? That's how I'm closing this sermon out. Help me preach it. Tell somebody and just let them, just remind them, God's got power. Yeah, help. Go to the other way. Say, look, God's got power. So even when you're at your weakness, you've got to remember that what? God's got power. Even when you're at your worst, always remember that what? God has power. Even when you're off the mark the furthest, God still has power. And that power is available for you. Only when you acknowledge, this is Paul's, that when I am weak, I am actually the strongest. Right? And I want to preach that to young men, because the danger of being young is that you're strong. That's the downside to being young. Everybody say, oh, the great thing about being young, you're strong, you're vital, you're active. That's actually the worst thing. Why? Because when you're young and strong, you believe that what? You can do it. You can make it happen. Whatever needs to get done, you can do it. But the secret to God's plan is recognizing that is not, God doesn't need our strength. So he puts us in positions of weakness so that he can reveal his strength in our lives. Like I said, Samson didn't realize that until he died. But the reason I'm preaching this series, so that all of our young men, all of our young ladies, I don't want you to get old before you figure that out. I want you in your teens, in your 20s, in your 30s. That's when I want you to understand how God works. Because if you can understand it as a young man and embrace the plan of God for your life, and understand that he's not going to put you in places of strength and honor and faith, but he's going to put you in places of weakness so that the power of God might shine brightly. Do you hear what I'm saying? Raise your hand if you believe it. Because if you believe what I'm saying, it's going to cause you to look at your circumstances differently. Samson could have been in prison, and Samson could have prayed, Lord, get me out of here. Lord, rescue me. He could have prayed, Lord, deliver me. But he said, no. He said, Lord, I'm at my weakest. I don't have my hair. I don't have my eyes. I don't have my freedom. My feet are shackled. And I'm here being laughed at by thousands of people. He could have said, God, get me out of here. But Samson realized that his strength was not in him. So he finally prayed, Lord, you strengthen me and allow me to do in this moment more than I've ever done before. That's the opportunity each and every one of us have. In our moment of weakness, Paul went down the list, reproaches, distress, needs. All of us fit on that list somewhere, and many of us in multiple categories. But Paul finally realized that when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Strong because what? That's when the power of God falls on me. And I'm able to do more in my weakness than I ever could in my own strength. Shall we all stand? If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Like I said, I'm closing out the series. And as a father, I just felt like I got to say something to my sons. What do you say to young men? What do you say to guys in their 20s and their teenage years, their early 30s, almost 40? What could I say? What could be the final word? And so here it is, the 119th Psalm. Right? I want to make sure everybody has it, right? You gotta be looking at this. This is it. This is the final, here it is. Verse 9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. And I will meditate on your precepts, and I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. It's wonderful that in these times we have access to sermons on YouTube and the website. But regardless of all of those means and technology advances, the truth of the matter is, once you walk out this door, you're going to forget what I've said. Right? And it's what we as preachers live with. The only person who remembers what was preached last Sunday is the preacher. Nobody else remembers. Because we leave and what? We get back into what? The racetrack of life. Got to go to work tomorrow, right? Got to get ready for school. Got a trip coming up. The holidays are coming. Got to get ready for. And you're just back life is just, and you just get back on that track and you just, in the words of the pastor, what go, they go, not that you're ill-meaning, but just the reality of life is that they go in one ear and they go out the other. But here is God's advice to every young person. Take heed to the word of God. So here's your challenge. Even if you don't remember what I said, make up in your mind to remember what God said. Each and every one of us, young and old, we have opportunities every day to pick up and read the Word of God. So my challenge, my advice to you, young, old, male, female, find that time. Not some days, not most days, not just the weekend days. Every day, pick up the Word of God. Because if you read it, you'll be surprised by how much you'll remember. The enemy's greatest attack against us is to cause us to become busy. Because when you're busy, you don't what? You don't pray. When you're busy, you don't take time to what? Read the Word of God. So if I could say anything to our young men, if I could say anything to our young ladies, you had it. You heard it. This is God's word, not my word. You don't remember the sermons, the dangers of Delilah and cutting your hair. And when if you forget all of that, that's fine. Don't forget this. Take heed to the Word of God. This will do more to help you in your life than anything else. Are you with me? So that's my challenge to you as a pastor. I'm not going to quiz you on what you read or who you read or where you read. Just read it. Just get it in. Look what he said. He said, "Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Get his word in your heart. Can we do that? Can you make that promise not to me, but to God? Every day, I'm going to find some time to read your word. You know, if I just read one verse or one chapter, this is going to be my daily bread. And watch what God will do for you. Are you with me on that? If you got it, say, "I got it." Now it's time for communion. If you are in need of sacraments, just lift your hands in the air. Bryce needs a sacrament. Anyone else? Hands up if you need sacraments. If you're a believer and you've accepted Jesus Christ, this is his commandment to us, that we break bread and commemorate his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The Bible tells us on the night that Jesus was betrayed that he took bread and that he broke it and that he blessed it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And I say the same to all of you. Let us eat together. Now the grape juice. I know it was the blood for me. Right? We used to sing a song in the old church. "One day when I was lost," right? "He died on the cross. And I know it was the blood." That's why we drink it. To remind ourselves that he paid a price for it with his own blood. Shall we all drink together? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. Thank you, Lord, for making us one.
both the young and the old, both male and female, knowing that in Christ there is no gender. Thank you for your prayer of asking the Father to make us one as you and the Father are one. And Lord, as we become one, help us also to become one with you and the Father. Lord, we've given our heart and our strength to these young men and these young women. And so I pray for them. I pray that you would be their portion. And I pray that you would be their strength. And that they would know you, depend on you, and put their faith in you and not themselves. And God, do great exploits in their lives and in the lives of their family and their friends. Cause the world to see your hand on their lives. And so I commit them into your care. I put them under your protection and your divine providence. And I thank you in advance for what you shall do in their lives and days and weeks ahead. We give you all the glory, honor, praise, and thanksgiving. And all of God's people said amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary.
We're going to now transition to our offering. Somebody say offering time. Can we say offering time? Thank you, Brother Aiden.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, Zelle, and also giving by U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA, 19139. To give through Venmo, our Venmo is at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. To give through Zelle, our Zelle is at 215-287-6968. For those gathered in with us in our sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door. One is for your tithes/offerings, and one is for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. You may also give an offering to our pastor through via Cash App or Venmo. Our pastor's Cash App is $PastorJonathanFord, and his Venmo is at Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. And I'm also doing announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live, so that you may continue to join us in our worship from your home. Remember to hit that subscribe button right there. Subscribe right there on our YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle, so that you may be informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. Choir practice for all ages, 2nd through 5th Sundays after service. Pastor Ford is asking all members, family and friends to join him online via Google Meets every Wednesday evening this month as we study Ephesians. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your children the second through fifth Sundays. Pastor Ford's Wild Lee Challenge. Sunday school for juniors and teens meet on Google Meets from 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. every second to fifth Sunday. Primary class Sunday school meets in person from 10:45 to 11:15 on every fifth to Sundays. And now for the benediction from our pastor.
Amen, church. Let's give our men at Taylor Tabernacle a hand. Every young man and every old man. And God bless you. God bless you. May be seated. Our appreciation, the pastor and myself appreciate every young man and older man. I asked them, and they said yes. Some of them told me, well, you need me again? I'll do anything you want me to do. I was really shocked because the men, every man, when I asked them to usher, to read the announcements, read the offering, whatever it took, including the liturgists, they said yes. You have to realize the women were doing it all the time. So look all the talent we have right here in the men. Give them another hand. God bless them.
What a wonderful thing to serve in the house of God as a young person. You begin to see and realize so many things just by being around. Not you ain't got to be the preacher, but just being in the room, in the atmosphere, you begin to see and sense the Spirit of God moving. And what a privilege to be able to know that and experience that as a young person. Not old. The challenge with getting old is when you get old, you get what? You get set in your ways. And you just, I'm going to do what I want to do. Right? Can't teach an old dog. But when you're young, you're flexible. You can change your mind. You know what I mean? And that's when God wants to make an impression on your life. I was just fooling around reading in my devotion in Samuel. And I don't know when I'm going to, but what a wonderful story to look at the life of Samuel. How God called him as what? A young boy. Right? And all he was doing was what? Serving in the house. That's all he was doing. And he heard the voice of the Lord. And so I echo what Reverend Radcliffe said. Thank God for all of our men, our young men, for being so faithful. Thank God for all of our young ladies, all of our mothers in the church. We thank God for you as well. So let us stand, and as we're standing, two things are happening today, immediately following service upstairs, I believe, with Sister Zakia. We are wrapping gifts for our Angel Tree families that'll be with us on next Sunday. So next Sunday, we need 110% attendance because the other gift we're going to give them is our presence. Just by being here, right? But today we're wrapping gifts, so if you have your gifts, you can go with Sister Zakia upstairs. We're going to be wrapping gifts for a brief amount of time, and then on next Sunday, like I said, our Angel Tree families will be here. Just a reminder, our Angel Tree families are children whose parents are presently incarcerated, okay? So we're going to step in and be moms and dads to ensure they have a good holiday. Also, if you've heard on the one call, we were blessed a few days ago by Chosen 300 Ministries. We have produce boxes in the back. There should be enough boxes, one for each family, okay? And they're just loaded with, you see, potatoes, onions, carrots, pepper. I mean, they're just loaded. I took mine home the other day, and I saw it, and Jemay saw it, and she said, I'm going to make a beef stew. Just chop it all up, put it in the crock pot, and throw some beef, and let it simmer all day. And I can't wait to get home to eat it. I love a good stew. But that's what's there. And again, I'm just going to ask you, one per family. They're in the back. So please take advantage of that. Let it be a blessing to you and your family. Amen. With that being said, come on, let's look heavenward. Father, we thank you. You are the only one who can present us faultless before the Father and the host of heavenly angels and the saints of old. God, wash us, Lord Jesus, again with your blood. Cover us with the raiment and white. Let us be justified in the presence of God, not by our sacrifice or by our works, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Go with us and keep us until we meet again. And the people of God shouted, amen, amen, amen again. Make sure you love on one another before you leave.